Welcome to the Laws of Material Wealth Personal Development Program. I'm your host, James Renford Powell, author of the Renford books, and in particular, the Laws of Material Wealth, which developed into the Laws of Material Wealth Personal Development Program. If you have the program, you know it consists of a book, workbook, four DVDs, 54 weeks of support material, and 54 hours of shows. On this station, this is why this particular program was created, is to be able to deliver to you the Laws of Material Wealth Personal Development Program, what I believe to be one of the most, if not the most, comprehensive personal development program available today. And we'll be talking a little bit more about that later on in the show. We'll always cover some information on this personal development program. If you have anyone who would like to listen to the show and maybe you're not online or not, don't have a computer or whatever, you can let them go to 347-838-9142. That's 347-838-9142. If you want to ask a question, anyone can go to that number. And then when you dial 347-838-9142, then press the 1 button on your touchtone dial. And that will flag you, that will flag me to bring you in for your question. Tonight you can call anytime and talk to me, ask questions of me, or you can ask questions of my guest, Patricia Lee. And Patricia Lee lives in Memphis, Tennessee. She is the co-host of Moment of Truth, a radio station here in Memphis. She's an author. A teacher, minister, and we'll be talking to her about her activities, her work, her new book that's coming up, and hopefully have a very good time with some very informative information for you. We'll talk a little bit more about the Blog Talk Radio. Now, you know how to, if you've come via the internet, then you know that this home page is blogtalkradio.com/Renford. That's the home page for the Radio by Renford Network. We have 11 shows per week, host in New York, Boston, Seattle, Denver, Little Rock, and the Netherlands, as well as Memphis. And we'll be adding to that group here shortly in the coming year. So check them out. There's a number of different genres. And we welcome you to investigate us. And we'll talk more about I Am Core, the website there, and YouTube and things later on in the show, probably around the top of the hour. As you know, last week I began a new segment to the show, and we talked about the root of the problem. This is a little monologue, dissertation, blog. It goes up on the website at www.iam-cor.org. And tonight is the second installment on this blog. It's tonight entitled The Process. And when we finish this, we'll get to our guest, Patricia Lee. The Process. In numerous essays, classes, and books, I address what I call the spiritual IV, the necessity of identifying and verifying the universal laws in our life experiences. In other words, the stress is on the personal conscious recognition from our own experiences as opposed to blindly accepting tradition or faith in what someone else says their experience has been. This is a process initially in conscious recognition that will eventually be taken over by the intuitive mind. It is a step toward the door to our path. If we can't find or open the door, how are we going to determine a path? Most of the Renford books, now there are 15 Renford books, but most of the Renford books in the first level of study at the Institute of Applied Metaphysics are designed to assist you in this process of identification and verification. The purpose is to key off in your mind an incident that can confirm for you a particular universal principle. These first-level books approach the process from different angles so that should you not be able to associate a universal law with your experience in one area, maybe you'll be able to relate it to another part of your life. In The House that Nemu Built, this is one of my books, you can find the story of one man's process of self-discovery, and each incident is an example for you to relate to your experiences. However, this is a modern-day parable told in a simple story form that some may find difficult to relate to their own reality. For this reason, I wrote The Rules of the Game. Some people are not terribly interested in what Jesus, Buddha, or Lao Tzu had to say, but may be very interested in what Lou Holtz, Bear Bryant, and Vince Lombardi had to say. This book is analogous to football, and all the quotes come from sports figures. These philosopher coaches may or may not have been aware of the universal principle they were stating, but their expression of that law is unmistakable. Others will not read anything unrelated to their business or money. For this reason, I wrote The Laws of Material Wealth. This is the one that makes up this personal development program. This book is about the thinking that should occur before you go into business for yourself. I draw on my experience in raising capital for new businesses for illustrations of each universal law. For those who love poetry, I wrote In Search of Self. In this book, I revealed in 63 poems my process of evolution and unfoldment. In whatever manner and in whatever way I could, I sought to provide ways for you to relate to the universal laws. I have suggested to you what I have discovered, but your dependence on my word about these universal laws, if accepted on faith, will be just as much a hindrance to your process as accepting what your preacher says without searching the scriptures to see if the thing said be so. The process of necessity must be yours and yours alone. It is your experiences you are studying in relation to the universal laws to help you consciously recognize this principle so that you can say, I know this to be true because I've been there and done that. Once you've been able to relate each principle to an experience consciously, it becomes second nature for you. You will not be analyzing everything that happens to you in relation to the universal laws. The intuitive mind takes over and the inner being recognizes what is going on as a natural process. You will never get where you want to go with this if you sit down with a list of the universal laws and ask yourself, what has happened to me that typifies this or that law? What works is to review your life experiences, beginning with those things that were life-changing or traumatic, and determine which universal laws or combination of laws were in place at the time. You cannot use the universal laws like some tool or how-to formula. Once you recognize and relate a law to an incident in your life, you can learn to come into harmony with it. This process requires work on self, which I found to be the most difficult work an individual can undertake. Most people would prefer to read a book, go to church or to a seminar, and let someone tell them what they should do. Some want to go to a service or group meeting and feel the energy without having to think, observe, or in any manner work on oneself. The actual process requires so much mental effort that without a group or a teacher available on demand, you may simply set aside as requiring too much effort. By using the Renford books as your tool for the process of relating the laws to your experiences, the task becomes simply a procedure that automatically slots in an experience as being an illustration of a principle. Besides reading the Renford books in the first level and answering the questions in the ULS workbook, that's the Universal Law Society workbook, there is an added exercise that will facilitate your process. This exercise is also difficult because we are unaccustomed to self-observation. Once we actually start paying attention to what we are saying and doing, become more and more self-aware. You do not have to beat yourself up for getting angry or saying something caustic. By virtue of the fact you are observing yourself, you will simply stop doing the negative which you recognize as harmful to your process. You may catch yourself responding negatively to someone because of what they said and may respond in kind, but the fact that you recognize what you are doing is a major step in your process. As self-observation begins to kick in, the fourth step in your process should commence. This involves three forms of meditation in conjunction with your verification work. Remedial steps can eventually be taken when self-observation has taken root. This means that negative thoughts and actions can be removed and replaced with the creative and pure potentiality of your thinking. I'll cover these forms of meditation in additional blogs later on. Remember, the four pillars of the program is identification, verification, observation, and meditation. These are the four steps and the four tools that you'll be using. And hopefully you'll find this beneficial. You will be able to go to www.iam-cor.org. That's www.iam-cor.org and forward slash blog. And you can go there. You can comment, criticize, complain, and argue with me if you want. But we put up each one of each week. There'll be another blog, dissertation, essay, whatever you want to call it. I'll be covering one of these with you each week. Now, I want to get to my guest, Patricia Lee. As I mentioned earlier, she's an author. We're publishing her book right now. It's called My True Sense, and we'll be discussing that. She's a radio host. Moments in Truth on Memphis, Tennessee, teacher, minister, and I'm very pleased to have her with me. Thanks for being on the show tonight, Patricia.
Thank you so much for having us, Mr. Powell.
You, like a lot of us, got your start and your consciousness to study from a rudimentary source or fundamentalist source. I believe you were raised in a missionary Baptist family, right?
Yes, I was. As a matter of fact, in a little city called Lake Cormorant, Mississippi, whereby I was brought up in a church called Dean Hill Missionary Baptist Church, a church that my family attended. You know, back in those days, church used to be maybe twice a month, first and third Sundays, and before it evolved into every Sunday, and that's where we got our start, yes, sir.
And
during those times, if you don't mind me saying, those days were what I call when we had true missionaries, such as my mother and aunt and other women in the field. That was during the time that they made sure that the children were involved in the services and had a part. And I'm very thankful for that today, being a part of my upbringing, because I believe by them having gave me that foundation helped me to be in a lot of places that I find myself in today, whereby at one time coming through there, that was when I was given the opportunity and learned how to stand before people and speak. And I remember during that time, I no longer wanted to use the paper. And so we were blessed to not use paper. And I'd just like to also share on that note with parents today that may be training your little one, that you may find it helpful if you don't already. For me, coming up, the use of a tape recorder was very helpful in my learning and memorizing. So if they have a voice messenger on their phones or whatever, if they have a problem with spelling, let them do their spelling on tape recorder, and so they can hear themselves, and that would be a I believe that was a good teaching tool for me, and I believe it's still very useful on today.
Now, you've made some comments in the book and in our conversations of your special concern for children, that you kind of feel like that they are not getting what they need to get. Could you comment on that?
Well, yeah, I have a great love for children. In a lot of areas, I believe our children are not getting all of the necessary love and attention that they truly need from every area of life. Even, you know, we know beginning in the home to the school to everywhere, a lot of our children are not being touched in a lot of areas whereby they are able to grow and grow in a way whereby they will learn to love themselves and others and get the necessary teachings that they need to become the necessary adults that we need in the community in the future. So on that note, that's why I was very pleased to have the privilege and honor to work with a particular school that we have called Marcus Garvey Institute Teaching and Learning Academy, whereby is an institution that we know the children are equipped to get everything that they need when they go out into the world to become the citizens and obtain the entrepreneurships or occupations that they so desire. So on that note,
is that a school that Marcus Garvey established specifically for children?
It was named in his honor.
And that's another thing,
like Marcus Garvey, for example, going through the regular public school system that our children go through, a lot of them may never hear that name. It's some of our pioneers, they don't get mentioned in the history books that are being shared with our children or with all children. And a lot of times, a lot of go through school and they never heard the name before, you know. So it's incumbent upon us to be sure that children get all that they need, and especially those things that concern and are connected to them.
So this is a school that was established in Memphis, or is this a national base?
Yes, it's one in Memphis, yes.
Yeah, and it's named after Marcus Garvey. Who administrates that school?
Who is the administrator of the one we have here in Memphis? Our administrator is Brother Jabril Shabazz.
Okay. And is there a place that people could go to? Is there a website for them?
If they want to find out more information about it, they can contact me.
Okay. All right. And so since we're talking about that, how does one contact you? Do you want to utilize your email address or what?
Yes. My email address is Miles Family Foundation. That's MilesFoundation@live.com.
Okay, so that's Miles Family Foundation at live.com, and they can email you for information about that or anything else that we may be talking about tonight, right?
Sure.
Let's talk about your book a little bit, My True Sense. This, folks, is almost like a social commentary, small bits. What did you have in mind when you started that?
When I began, and I would like to give credence also to one of the elders in the community, the one whom with I co-host on 1600 AM radio station in Memphis, Dr. Isaac Richmond. And in our talking to one another occasionally, he'd always tell me, write, you know, Patricia, write. And so one night I finally picked up the ink pen and began to write. And since then, I have been, this book has been a little over a year. I began writing last August, and it's a prose type poetry book. And it evolved from what I call from snippets to my two cents, thus my true sense. And it's, we write usually at least two or three a week, or sometimes two or three a day. And we try to capture it within a page, at least to maybe share a little past, a little present, and hopefully a little future.
Keep it short and simple, and something that a person might be able to get something out of it quickly. Could you define the community? You've talked about your community. Would you define that as, you've talked about in the book, the Java complex. You've talked about Kwanzaa and different groups, but how would you define what you're calling your community?
How would I define what I call my community?
Yeah, what group or organization are you working through, and what do they do?
Well, I work with a lot of different organizations, as you have pointed out. The main organization that I chair myself would be the Umoja Foundation. And
Umoja.
So Umoja, U-M-O-J-A. That is a Swahili term, one of the principles of Kwanzaa that means unity. And so far as the community that we are surrounded by, and me being of African descent, we find that some of the places where we are, and places that we need to go to, we need to have unity amongst ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
Being that we were stripped of everything, thereby we lost love, respect, and trust amongst ourselves. So those things we have to learn to put back in community so our communities can be what they need to be.
Now, you're referring all the way back to slavery, right?
Yes.
Being stripped of your normal family life.
Mm-hmm. Yes, your culture, your everything. Your everything.
Yeah.
You were empty. And then you were given, you know, others. You adopted other people's cultures into your life, but you lost your own. And by us being various from so many tribes anyway, it's really hard to define a specific culture that they would be like a one-fits-all.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it wouldn't be like African culture, because it's culture from the tribes from all over, from different places. Do any of these groups tell us a little bit about the different ones?
Yes, I would like to tell you, especially about Kwanzaa, since this is the season of Kwanzaa coming up. The Kwanzaa celebration is from December 26th through January 1st. And for those that may not have participated in Kwanzaa before, it is a celebration surrounding seven principles that are referred to as the Nguzo Saba. And on that note, for anyone that can, I'd just like for you all to know that I will be Queen of Kuumba this year. Kuumba means creativity. and that is the sixth day of Kwanzaa. The principles, for example, Umoja means unity. The second day, Kujichagulia, self-determination. Ujima, collective work and responsibility. Ujamaa, cooperative economics. Nia, purpose. Kuumba, creativity. Imani, faith. And so these principles, we try to make sure we celebrate one principle each of these 7 days for that particular day. But where we are now, we realize, we know that these principles are principles that need to be incorporated into our lives 365 days of the year.
How widely,
and so we have,
how widely celebrated is that in the African-American community?
Well, for myself personally, even Kwanzaa has been, it would be a 50-year-old celebration in the States for, in 2016.
Mm-hmm.
But shamefully so, personally, I just began hearing more about Kwanzaa in the last 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
And it's been in Memphis the last 38 years, I believe. So it is not widely shared as we would like for it to be. And I would like for anyone to know that may be interested, the first day, Umoja, will be shared at the auction block here in Memphis, Tennessee, at 10 o'clock in the morning, if anyone may be able to come and partake. But they,
do you have
they
a schedule that you do you have a schedule you can send out if they email you at Miles, that's MYLES Family Foundation at live.com.
Yes,
then
sir.
you can provide information about some of these celebrations and meetings.
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
Yes, sir. I could.
Yeah.
I would.
So you hear about Christmas, you hear about Hanukkah. You've got a something similar, I suppose, in Diwali from the Indian community. I mean, I guess each community has some form of celebration at this time of the year. The do you know if the Kwanzaa is being celebrated all over the country that way? I mean, is there anything that you get or that people in Memphis get about the Kwanzaa celebration, say, in New York or in Los Angeles?
It's widely spread throughout the state. Dr. Coringa started it 50 years ago, brought it back to America. But what we like to begin to see, and some do partake of, because it needs to be more than just a 7-day celebration,
mm-hmm.
that different activities are held throughout the year in different months to begin to give people more enlightenment and let them know, you know, about Kwanzaa, to give it more exposure, and that it is something that you can partake of, and also in a hope to, for a lot of people celebrating the Christmas holiday, they may be more productive if they will begin to celebrate the Kwanzaa as a traditional way of celebration.
Mm-hmm. Can we go over those 7 principles again? I'm real big on principles, and I'd like the first day is what?
Umoja, UMOJA.
And that
which
is
means
unity.
Unity.
Uh-huh.
Yes, it's to strive for and maintain unity in the family, the community, and nation, and race.
Yeah, that's good. And the second?
Kujichagulia, which is KUJICHAGULIA, which means self-determination.
Self-determination.
Yes, sir.
Well, these are important. In fact, these are universal laws that you're listing so far. And three?
Ujima, U J I M A.
Uh-huh.
And that's collective work and responsibility.
Uh-huh. Okay, and four?
Ujamaa, U-J-A-M-A-A.
It's almost the same as three?
Well, it's cooperative economics. It means cooperative economics.
So the three is U-J-I-M-A, and then four is U-J-I-M-A-A?
U-J-A-M-A-A, three A's, U-J-A-M-A-A.
Mm-hmm. And that's cooperative?
Cooperative economics.
Uh-huh.
And the next
that
one
sound
is
like great principle.
N-I-A.
And number five?
NIA, N-I-A, which means purpose.
All right, purpose. And six?
Kuumba, which is K-U-U-M-B-A, which means
yep.
Creativity.
Well, there's certainly principles that would benefit anybody. And seven?
Imani, I-M-A-N-I.
I've seen a church in Raleigh called the Imani Church. Does that have is
yeah,
that connected
Imani.
With that? Uh huh.
What Greater Imani?
It's
not necessarily connected with. I mean, but Imani means faith, so I'm sure that's probably why they chose the name.
Sure, sure. All right. Well, that's the one could go to on. The internet, or could go to could Google Kwanzaa, couldn't they?
Yes, that's what I was about
yeah.
to say.
How do you spell that?
K W A N Z A A.
Okay, that's
K W
A N Z A A. Right.
Yes.
And
right.
and they could probably find other writers and other information on Kwanzaa that way. I'm going to take
yes,
a few
sir.
Minutes here. I want to take a few minutes and do a little bit of commercial activity here. Patricia, let's talk about your book, My True Sense, and their short commentaries. And we hope to have that book out here possibly even before the end of the year or very early in the new year. Are you going to be going out, are you going to be doing workshops, seminars, and shows on the book?
Yes, sir. We plan to go there, everywhere we can go. We plan on going.
And I mean, are you developing like classes or workshops to do with it?
We haven't started yet. We haven't started
yeah.
yet. My first thing right now is to get the book in print form
mm-hmm.
and on the internet, and then we will begin to concentrate on the different workshops and other things that we may incorporate into it.
Okay. I'm going to take a moment, and I want to invite all of you to go to www.iam-cor.org. That's iam-cor.org, and view the virtual campus of the Institute of Applied Metaphysics. And hopefully we can have some things to do with the African Studies and Kwanzaa there that Patricia will be able to add to the institute. At this site, there's a 3-degree level program, and you can see what the courses are and what the texts are used in each of the 3-degree levels. You can go to the bookstore, you can read something of the history of the institute, And there are also three free ebooks. You can download free The Searcher's Roadmap. This is really an introduction to the Renford books, the Institute of Applied Metaphysics, the Church of Revelation, and that you can download free. Also, the core document, which is about the establishment of the Church of Revelation and what its purpose is and how you might benefit by it. That's a free ebook as well. And then the third free ebook is called The Unity Principles, which is a study of what the founders of the Unity movement thought about each one of the 13 universal laws. They have the five unity principles that they talk about, but those are principles that virtually any Christian would agree upon. But the 13 is more in-depth, and of course, because of doctrine and dogma, you might not agree with all of that. But nevertheless, all of those statements by Emily Cady and Charles Fillmore are there specifically pertaining to each one of the 13 laws. We also have the Lightways E-Zine. This is an electronic magazine prototype which is up there that we're developing, and you can download the Lightways free. So all four of those are free documents that you can download. You can visit the bookstore and see the other books of the authors that we published with I Am Press and the Renford books. You are welcome to go there and visit, and also go to youtube.com and type in Renford Broadcast Network. That's R-E-N-F-O-R-D, Broadcast Network. And you'll be able to view the television show that we've had here for several years called The Bookman Show, where we are interviewing primarily Memphis authors as much as we can. Actually, we've had authors on there from New Zealand, all over the place. But we are focused on interviewing Memphis authors on The Bookman Show. And since a lot of people don't get Comcast Cable Network Channel 17, we put it up on YouTube. You can view it there. You can see the first DVD with the Laws of Material Wealth Personal Development Program, which will give you some idea of what's involved in the program. And also the Core Concepts. Core Concepts is specifically a YouTube show. And the format is that we invite religious and spiritual leaders to come in and tell us what they believe, why they believe it, what they're doing about it, how they came to that belief, and as Dr. Phil would say, how's that working out for you? So it's been a very, very interesting show with people from a wide range of religious beliefs, and you're welcome to go up and check some of those out. You may even know some of those, and they come from a wide interfaith cross-section of religions that are available here in the Memphis area and around the world. You can find out about almost any religion you want on by Googling, if you know the name. I think that on Core Concepts, you'll find people that you wouldn't have even known to look for, which makes it an interesting show. It also, on that site, we have the audio books, the Renford Theater, and Music with Meaning. So I want to invite you to check out these things, the iam-core.org and the virtual campus of the Institute and the YouTube site. I know that most of you may be familiar with blogtalkradio.com/Renford. That's the RBR network, but you might not be aware of the others, and we want to invite you to check us out there. You mentioned, I'm going back to my guest, Patricia Lee, author, radio host, and teacher, and minister. And Patricia, you've mentioned a few names that were inspirational or influential for you. Can you care to talk about some of these?
In my upbringing, I was acquainted with poets like James Weldon Johnson, and there was also he wrote God's Trombone, and
uh-huh.
those were really sermons within themselves. And so early in life, for example, The Prodigal Son, Let My People Go, those pieces we committed to heart and learned and shared many, many, many times throughout life. And so he was one that we were very fond of. And early on before him, there was a preacher in the city of Memphis by the name of Reverend Johnny Owens. Since I was so young at the time, I did meet him, but he used to write speeches for children's speeches, like for Easter speeches, Children's Day, and things like that. So
mm-hmm.
my mom used to get books from him, and, you know, we would scan those and pick out several ones that he had. I remember one that he did was A Charge to Keep, I Have a God to Glorify, which was one of my favorites. And
I Have a God to Glorify?
Yes.
I Have a God to Glorify. Uh-huh.
And Dr. Maya Angelou, you know, we love her work and are grateful. We've used her pieces, Phenomenal Woman, and Still I Rise, mm-hmm. and Sojourner Truth, Ain't I a Woman, you know, just among some of the few that we were so elated to have come across their path.
And you mentioned Dr. Kalinga. You mentioned Dr. Kalinga, who revived or brought back Kwanzaa. But what did what is Marcus Garvey famous for?
Marcus Garvey was our pioneer. That he was given credited to for getting so many millions of followers, African-American people, to come mm-hmm. together. He had the most influence amongst African-American people. And just mm-hmm. as his mission during that time really was, he was foremost trying to tell people to leave America and go back to Africa, whereby he managed, you know, to get great sums of money, but working with who you're working with, you know, not knowing at the time, you're really buying ships from other people that they already know are no good, so you really don't have, you know, your money's worth or whatever. So, but he is the one accredited to for really waking up the masses of people during that period of time. He was around in the 1920s.
That was my next question, was when did that occur, 1920? Because there was a movement even back during Jefferson's time allow people to go back to Africa, and that was the founding of Liberia. And I didn't know where Marcus Garvey came into the picture. Was he trying to form colonies to go back to Africa?
Yeah, he was asking, you know, for a land for the people, you know, for the African people to have a land of their own, you know, since the land had been taken.
Yeah, in Africa or in the United States, in America?
In Africa.
In Africa.
He was encouraging people to go back to Africa.
Was he an author as well?
Yes, he has some books too, which I have been privy to scan one, to look at one. He's very good when somebody had to finish it, of course. But yes, he has several books out.
Hmm. Do you recall what the title, any titles were? I'm just wondering if they could be.
Marcus Garvey. Well, I know one that's under Marcus Garvey is on the title, so I'm sure if you put in Marcus Garvey, it probably leads you to it.
Yeah, probably if we Google Marcus Garvey, we could get all that, because there are a lot of books like that that are not in print, but you can still get copies. People have restored them, and they have them available electronically. Now, you also talk about a lot about Jahlil Rahim Eli.
Brother Jahlil Rahim Eli.
And Eli's personal testimony called Different Drums and Different Drummers. Are you able to read that to us?
Yes, I would very much like so. And you would just allow me to share a little bit about Brother Eli.
Sure.
He is one whom I regard, even though he doesn't hold the office of, but for me personally, I equate him to being a priest. And a priest to me, because he was the first person to lead me what I would call in a way of consciousness. The first person to tell me how the Bible came into existence and that type of thing. But anyway, this is a poem that he wrote, and it's his personal testimony, Different Drums and Different Drummers.
Mm-hmm.
And it says, if I do not want what you want, please try not to tell me that my want is wrong. Or, if I believe other than you, at least pause before you correct my view. Or if my emotion is less than yours or more, given the same circumstances, try not to ask me to feel more strongly or weakly. Or yet, if I act or fail to act in the manner of your design for action, let me be. I do not, for the moment at least, ask you to understand me. That will come only when you are willing to give up changing me into a copy of you. I may be your spouse, your parent, your offspring, your friend, or your colleague. If you will allow me any of my own wants or emotions or beliefs or actions, then you open yourself so that someday these ways of mine might not seem so wrong and might finally appear to you as right for me. To put up with me is the first step to understanding me. Not that you embrace my ways as right for you, but that you are no longer irritated or disappointed with me for my seeming waywardness. And in understanding me, you might come to prize my differences from you, and far from seeking to change me, preserve and even nurture those differences. By Brother Jahlil Rahim Eli.
Now, is he in the Memphis area?
Yes, he is. He's a very phenomenal drummer. And if anybody would like some private lessons or something, please, you can email me and let me know, and I will certainly try to hook you up.
He teaches the African drums?
He teaches all. He is a master drummer.
And would you call him a religious or spiritual leader?
Spiritual leader. Spiritual.
Yeah.
Spiritual. Yes.
So maybe he would be available to be on Core Concepts?
Sure. I'm sure he would be delighted.
Well, let's talk to him about this. Where are you going from here? I know that this is not the easiest thing in the world to do. I mean, you're not creating something new, but you're you're working on a revival of African consciousness and spirituality as has been taught long before any came to America. Where do you see the movement going from here? What do you plan to do?
What we would like to see is more togetherness. For example, on the Moment of Truth broadcast, which I'm delighted and prayerful that you will be with us on this following Sunday.
Yes.
At 11
Thank
o'clock
you.
A.M. At 11 o'clock A.M. on 1600 WMQM. And people may go to that by way of internet also on www.WMQM1600.com at 11 a.m. on Sunday morning. And what we would like to see, for example, doing that show, I love to bring in local artists and play their music because we want to show love amongst our own communities, our own. Many times it seems like for people to really get the recognition that they warrant or deserve, they have to go outside of home and get signed or get approved by somebody. So in an effort to just begin to show and give love and receive love and, you know, reciprocity being all involved, we know we got to come together. So it's all about unifying, and hopefully we can unify around that one concept, and that concept at least being love, 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 L-O-V-E, love. And so also let you know that we do co-host on Rhinos Nation on KQPN AM 730 on Sundays at 1 o'clock. PM. And you may also listen to it by way of way up at www.tunein.com radio.
Is that a Moment of Truth show as well, or is that a different show?
Different show.
And what
different
is it
show.
Called?
It's called Rhinos Nation Live Talk Radio Show. And the host
Rhinos
of,
Nation.
Rhinos, R-H-I-N-O-S,
yeah.
Nation, talk show brother Derek Tucker is the host. He's also
Derek
a phenomenal
Tucker.
Author. Derek, yes. D-A-R-R-I-C-K.
So he's an author and a host as well.
Yes. Yes, another phenomenal.
What is the thrust of Rhino? I mean, what
Rhino
is
to particularly call attention to black-owned businesses and also putting in a component for black-owned businesses to be accountable and giving back to community. So it really focuses around businesses and knowing where the businesses are and supporting and also giving back, and also teaching young children how to become entrepreneurs.
You talk in your book about the Java Complex. Can you tell us about that?
The Java Complex is another what one may deem as an Afrocentric place whereby you may come to learn a lot of your history. It offers books and DVDs that shares a lot of knowledge. You know, some local Memphis artists, Memphis authors, for example, Yakanon Markel Taylor has his book, Weapon of Mass Instruction. Just a wealth of knowledge can be found at the Java Complex. I usually just refer to it as a place to go and let the ancestors fall on you. it's just a divine place of wisdom.
So it's not exactly a church, but it is a education center that anyone can come to.
Yes, yes, it's very much educational. They have Toastmasters classes. Those Toastmasters are to teach people that may be interested in public speaking.
Mm-hmm.
They offer those type classes and also classes in etymology and metaphysics, that type of thing.
Are you active in with that? Do you teach classes there?
No, sir, I don't.
And what do you do with them? Anything?
I promote. I tell others about. I try to lead others to the knowledge.
Mm.
But we share in whatever capacity we can. But so far as teaching a class, as of yet, no, sir, we've not done that.
Mm. And go ahead.
No, I was just about to say we've only been in the knowledge of the Java complex ourselves for the last 3 years, so we're thankful to have formed the relationship, because by it we have met many, 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 many wonderful people. And I think I can say for myself, looking back, I was thinking earlier today about that phrase that says, when the student is ready, the teachers will come.
Yeah.
And I feel like that's where I am in life, because I am being surrounded and coming in contact with so many teachers. And I would also like to add on that note that thou art one, that you are one of those such persons yourself. And so for that, I am also grateful. And thank you.
Well, thank you. Thank you. In your book, you have a section called Vision Statement, and in an earlier one you talk about without a vision the people will perish. Can you talk a little bit here in the closing minutes? We only have about 3 minutes, but could you talk a little bit about your vision?
Well, let me add this right quick first before. Also concerning the Java complex, we will, so far as I'm concerned, mostly with the Java complex right now, we will be doing a thrift store in conjunction with the Java complex in the community.
You're creating a thrift store?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes, the Yahoo thrift store, yes, sir. And, okay, you were asking me about a vision statement.
Well, we're about to close out the show, and I wanted to turn the show over to you more or less,
okay.
and get your vision or what you want to see happen.
Okay, well, let me just share this part with you. I turned in the book to this particular page, so if you allow me to share it and close it out with this, and this will also bring in my family, the Miles Family Foundation. And this is type courses.
We've only got about 90 seconds. I'm not sure if you have time, but...
Okay. It is true that all of our projects are important. For a puzzle to be completed, all the pieces have to eventually be put together. So it is with us, all pieces and all members are vital parts to the whole. In the story of Nehemiah, it seems as if he was working on a physical wall. Our wall today is a spiritual wall. As it stands right now, it has too many gaps and a lot of holes that need to be closed. So where do we go from here? In an effort to restore culture, could we at least come together once every quarter or meet and collaborate on how we can make our communities better? For example, by now, don't you think we should have an African store and bank on every corner? So much work to be done and so much squabbling going on. When the ancestors embark upon you those great ideas that will help us to restore trust and love for our fellow man, please include the Miles Family Foundation. I'm Patricia Lee, and that's my true sense. And thank you.
And thank you very much for being with us tonight on The Laws of Material Wealth. Thank you all, and join us next week at the same time. Have a good evening and a good holiday season.
Harambe. Let us pull together.
Thanks.
Thank you.